Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Without Me You Can Do Nothing. The Word of God is more powerful than all of mankind's nuclear weapons being set off at the same time. Yet most Christians don't understand its significance, or simply don't care. God has promised to honor His Word, and Pastor John examines how to live in the health God has promised every believer in Christ. So what happens when we speak out the Word of God concerning health, and send it by faith into a situation of sickness? Will the healing come right away? Regardless of what happens, the mandate is clear. We are to step out in faith and speak the Scriptures against every disease we encounter, leaving the results up to God. This message is entitled, Jesus and Your Health. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on June 24th, 2012. And this is the last Sunday in the month of June. I can't believe the time is flying so fast. So we are finishing now 6 months of the year 2012. Let's stand and let's pray and seek the Lord. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that we can meet here today in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. And I ask you right now, Lord, again, I ask it every Sunday, that you will open up the Word of God to us, anoint us, so that, Father God, we can learn what you want us to do, how you want us to do it, and when you want us to do it. And I want to praise you and I want to thank you right now for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse number 17, John 5:17, we read the following verses. But Jesus answered them, My Father works hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things ever he does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves his Son and shows him all things that himself does. He will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. In this series now, where we have been discussing and talking about a simple this, without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. And we have learned that Jesus was obedient and that Jesus only operated, did what the Father told him to do. And then we also read in Romans chapter 8, that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ at 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have received the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and the children that heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For years, I have been trying to understand the gospel, understand the power, understand how the Holy Spirit works. And over the years, I've been preaching the power of the spoken word, a prayer, and so on. But in the box here that we have on the first page, it says this, Jesus did not use supernatural power to defeat the devil. He did not call on angels to remove the devil, did not reason with the devil, but used the written word of God as found in the Bible as his weapon to combat the devil. Let me slow down again, and I really want to emphasize this. Jesus had supernatural power. He could have simply, when the devil came up, just hit him with a power bolt, wiped him out, sent him away. He could have done anything with him. But he didn't use that power. He did not reason with him. He didn't say, "Now, Satan, let me tell you a few things here about God." He didn't do that. Jesus fought him with the word of God. Very simple. He said, "It is written. It is written." 3 times. And the devil had to be, he was defeated and had to move and get away from Jesus. How powerful is the word of God? A lot of people are discouraged today. People say, "Well, you know, there's nothing really happening. People not getting saved, and you know, people don't want to repent on this and that." But let me have you focus on this one thing now. Let me take you back to about 1510. About 1510. The world was totally dark. The gospel was just about gone. Nothing there. Roman Catholic Church simply dominated everything. And there was a man by the name of Martin. And Martin was a monk, Catholic Church. He was also a priest. And he had such a desire to be saved, he simply felt, "I got to get closer to God." So he did what a Catholic's supposed to do. He gave to the church. He fasted. Did all the things. Took all the different little rituals they had. And then to top it off, he went to a certain castle in Europe where they had a stairway going up about 150 steps or so, plus or minus. And in those cement steps, they had taken broken glass. And they put broken glass on each step. And if someone really wanted to get close to God, they told them, you have to walk on your hands and knees up all the way to the top of this castle. And he did that. And he didn't do anything for him except he bled a lot. And then one day, and I really wanted to hear this right now. One day, he could read Greek, Latin, Hebrew. He opened his Bible, and it fell open to Romans. And he began to read the book of Romans, which was written 1,500 years prior. Written down. And as he read, the word of God simply exploded. And he realized, I can be saved through faith by repenting of my sins. And he knelt and prayed, and he got saved. After that, he began to preach different sermons in his church in Wittenberg, Germany. And you say, now, what can one person do? Martin Luther wrote down 95 theses, put them on his door. This was the time before radio, no television, no telephone, nothing except the printed word. And he wrote these down. And God used the word. God picked up the word that he had spoken to Martin Luther and projected them out. And it broke the power of the Roman Catholic Church forever. And we had the Protestant Reformation, Lutheran Reformation. That's how powerful it is. The problem is now that if you want it to work in your life, you have to be serious. You have to be serious. Turn with me now to Isaiah 55. I ran through this here last week, and I'm not sure that everybody picked it up. But in Isaiah 55, if you pick it up in verse number 8, we read this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, though my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, returns not thither, but waters the earth, makes it bring forth and bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in a thing whereto I sent it. When Jesus walked on the earth, he had a supernatural power to hear and see what the Father did, and he repeated that. You and I cannot do that. But there's one thing we can do. We have the written word. We have what God has already spoken. And listen, every time you open your mouth and you quote scripture, the word of God becomes alive and it sits there in front of you. Now, if you take that word and you project it like you do with a rifle and you pull the trigger and you send the word into a person, to a situation, whatever it is, the word of God will move like a laser beam, hit the target, and before it turns back, it will prosper in a thing whereto you sent it. The power of the spoken word. In Mark 11:22, that's Mark chapter 11. If you pick it up here in verse, I want to pick it up in verse number 12. And on the morrow, when he would come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the fig was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, notice not a fig tree, there must be a spiritual power, because it said, and Jesus answered the tree, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. His disciples heard it. Jesus, now the Son of Man, Son of God, said, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. Spoken words. If you drop now down to verse number 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter kind of remembers to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be you cast into the sea, shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Jesus was very positive. Satan wants you and me to be negative, with doubts and unbelief. And since we have lived, many of us have lived for years in defeat, little income, whatever it is, very few things happening, we simply do not have a lot of expectation. And we have a natural tendency to simply say, well, I did something wrong, this is not right, I guess this is not good, and we speak negative. What can God do with that? Nothing. Who can work with those negative words? Satan, he loves that. He said, you are right. Everything is wrong. This is not working. This is not right. You don't have any faith. You're going to be poor. You're going to be this and that. And he simply says, I will implement that in your life. We need to change our thinking. We got to think according to God's word. Turn me now to Acts 10:38. That's the book of Acts 10:38. And I want to talk to you about health. How can we now be walking in health? Is it possible to have a healing from God in whatever we are being ailing in? In Acts 10:38, we read this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Let's read it again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now keep your finger here and turn to Hebrews 13:8, and this is going to be a bonus scripture for you. That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8. And you read this. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, you heard that before. Let's read it slow again. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. What does that mean? It means he has not changed. Keep your finger here now. Go back to Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing some. Is that what your Bible says? And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Back again to Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, when you got up this morning, you made a decision to go to church. It was a good decision. And if someone asked you, who is preaching Sunday morning? You would have said, Pastor John. How do you know that? If someone said to you this morning, how do you know that Pastor John is going to be there? He might be gone. How do you know that? Because last Sunday, he said he was going to preach on health this week. That's what he said. He said that we believe him, and he's going to be there today. I'm just a man. Now, if Jesus Christ is standing in front of you and saying, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you look upon him and say, okay, Jesus, maybe, maybe not. That's insulting him. You have to make up your mind. If he is the Son of God, if he is divine, if he is the Messiah, your Savior, we should believe what he said is true. Turn to Hebrews 9:14. That's Hebrews 9:14. If you read the following. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he's a mediator of a new testament, that by means of death, with the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For a testament is, there must be a necessity be the death of a testator. And then we go down to verse number 20. This is the blood of the testimony God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle or the vessel of ministry. And almost all things by law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with air, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but to heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet that he should offer himself oft as a high priest enter the holy place every year with blood of others. For then he must often have suffered the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, if somebody asks you, are you saved? Most of you that are here today would simply say, yes, I am born again. What's going to happen to you when you die? I'm going to go to heaven. There is no doubt in your mind that Jesus has given you eternal life. But then somebody asks you, what about healing? What about this and that? Well, I'm not too sure now. I trust Jesus for eternity. But I cannot trust Jesus here. You understand that? Most of us, we say, oh yeah, I trust him for eternity. But we have a hard time to trust him here and now. With our health, finances, relationships, jobs, whatever it is that God has given us. What does that tell us? It's simply this. We have little faith. We don't have a lot of faith. And that is sad. In Romans 10:9, we read this. That's Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. That if you should confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and should believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart man believes in righteousness, and with the mouth the confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between a Jew and a Greek. For the same Lord of all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the first step in our salvation, to believe. We are saved by grace, by faith in him. But the atonement has more. We also have healing of our diseases. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. It's Isaiah chapter 53. If you pick it up in verse number 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He is no form nor countenance, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely, he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Hebrew does not have a future tense. So it simply here means, and with his stripes we are healed and are going to be healed. Did God speak these words? I believe he did. Absolutely. Now turn to Matthew chapter 8. That's Matthew, the 8th chapter. And you pick it up in verse number 16. Matthew 8. 16. When the evening was come, they brought to him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirit with his word, and he healed all that were sick. I want to give you a key in there. Look at the next verse. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and he bare our sicknesses. God spoke to Isaiah 700 years before Christ. And now we read here that Jesus healed all the different people. But he said the reason is that it might be fulfilled, the word, the power, that the word would be fulfilled, spoke by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and he bare our sicknesses. When you quote the scripture, by his stripes I am healed. When you quote that, you bring out the word of God alive. It is vibrating in front of you in power. And you can send it into yourself. You can send it to somebody else that is sick. And simply said, by his stripes, you are healed. By his stripes, I am healed. My wife has been practicing this for 6 months. As we've been battling the cancer. And the other things that happened to her. And as simply every day, we've spoken. By his stripes, you are healed. We sent the word in. The word was sent in. Now Satan is not rolled over at once. He fought us. First he got worse. But eventually, he had to begin to retreat. As he retreated, there were times things would flare up. And Satan said, no, 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 nothing has happened. I said, you liar. It is spoken by his stripes. She's healed. If you can understand that concept and get rid of your unbelief, you're going to go places. In 1 Peter 2:24, we got three places where he says it now. This is 1 Peter. If you pick it up here in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24. And he says this. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed, past tense. Every sickness you and I encountered was paid for in full at the cross. When Jesus, before he was whipped, 39 lashes, God the Father took every sickness that from Adam and Eve to the last person to live, every disease, don't care what it is. And he laid them all on Jesus. And when the last 39 stripe had been hit him, Jesus was the sickest man on this earth. He had cancer, arthritis, strokes, heart attacks, AIDS, you name the disease, leprosy. He had it all. His body was raking with disease. And you read the scripture that says, when they walked to Golgotha, they put a crossbeam on him. And he couldn't bear it. He couldn't carry it. He fell down. And Simon of Cyrene carried it over there. And Jesus had every disease. Every disease. He went up on that cross. And for 3 hours, God then laid every sin upon him. First all the diseases came. Then all the sins came. And finally, whatever sin had been laid on him, including the sin of Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, you name the worst scum that we had on this earth, every sin was laid upon him. And then he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because at that time, God judged him. And judged him for our sins and our diseases. And then finally, Jesus said, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. He said this, "It is finished. I paid for it all. Paid in full." And all you and I have to do is to cash in and simply say, "I'm going to cash in and receive what Jesus has for me." In 1 John 5:11, 1 John 5:11, we read the following, eternal life. 1 John 5:11. "And this is a record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is his Son. He that has his Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we shall ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, which if we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." Three things here at this point: salvation, healing from our diseases, and eternal life in heaven. You and I now need to make a decision. Do we really believe this? My wife and I have had good health most of our lives. We had a few ups and downs. But I would say for more than 70 years, we really haven't had any problems. And when my wife was struck last year, and I began to ask God, "Why? Why is this happening? What have we done wrong?" I believe that God allowed it to happen to show us, to teach us how to walk through this valley. Because all of us would have to go through valleys from time to time. It's one thing to preach and not having experienced it. Another thing is to preach it and having been there, done that, over with, we have the victory. I want to give you some healing scriptures. Numbers chapter 23. Numbers, the 23rd chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 19. 23:19. "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and should he not do it? Has he spoken, and should he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it." We used to sing those verses, powerful verses. Listen to what he says. God is not a man. He cannot lie. Has he spoken? And should he not do that? Begin to quote that. That's a good scripture to start in the morning. To begin to quote that. God is not a man who should lie. Has he spoken? Should he not do it? He will bless. And then turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. There are many, many other verses. I'm just giving some highlights here. 1 John chapter 1, verses 4 and on. "After these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This is a message we have heard of him, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie to the truth. But if we walk in the light, as in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." God is light. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Powerful scriptures. Every day I sin. Every day you sin. Every day I come to God and I say, God, please forgive me. Wash me right now in the blood. And he does. And I am clean through the power of the blood. And then turn to Romans 8:31. That's Romans 8:31. And I could just stand here today, quote scripture after scripture. I'll just pick out a few here. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Have you spoken that lately? Have you spoken that when a doctor said you got a disease? Have you spoken that when a doctor says you got this problem and we're going to have to do testing? We have to cut. We got to do these different things. Have you spoken a word? If God be for us, who can be against me? We need to begin to speak what we believe. We need to shed our unbelief. If you listen to every John, Tom, and Harry, and Mary, and whoever they are, we're going to be full of unbelief. It is time for us to simply say, I'm a man of God, I'm a woman of God, I stand on the word of God, and I don't have any circumstances, and I don't live in this world's economy. I am living in God's economy. I'm living in a divine health. I'm living in a supernatural. Unless you begin to proclaim that, you're going to be a yo-yo, up and down and up and down. Whoever talks to you, have you ever had anyone come up to you in the morning and say, man, you look terrible today. You must be sick. And you know, you begin to, man, maybe I am sick. You know what I tell people when I tell them that? I simply said, in the name of Jesus, I will not receive that curse. I am not going to be cursed. I'm doing just fine. I am healed by his stripes. The power of God is surging through my body right now. I might look a little bleak. Who cares? But inside, I'm just fine. You ever hear people say this? I think I'm going to catch a cold. That's smart. You simply say, hey, devil, I want to catch a cold. He said, I'll be glad to get one to you. Free of charge, then you can go down and buy some medication for it. I don't catch colds. I don't want a cold. I don't need a cold. I don't need this or that. You know, for years, the last 10 years, I get in a mail every week, every month, a letter saying that you need to prepare for your last days. You need to have long-term care. One out of six will have Alzheimer's disease. It's very costly. You should have a program. And I'm simply taking these letters and go to the shredder. I'm not going to get it. I'm healed by his stripes. I'm not going to have these different things. I don't plan to end up in a nursing home. Hello? I have no plan for that. I plan to be preaching. It might be a Sunday morning here when I'm close to 119 in 10 months. That Jesus says it's time for you to go. I'll finish my sermon. I will say, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you, love you, see you. Boom, I'll be on the floor here. And then you can have a funeral after that, if you're still alive. Now, let's quickly move now. Turn to Matthew 10:5. Matthew 10:5. Let's see what Jesus told his people here. These 12, these sent forth and commanded them saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaritans, enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven at hand, heal the sick. He didn't say, try to heal them. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely have received, freely give. That's a tall order. Now, does that apply to you and me today? Absolutely. Turn to Luke chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10. If you pick up there in verse number 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And then in verse number 9, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Heal the sick. Verse number 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan and lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. When did you quote that verse last? Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. When did you quote that last time? Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the Spirit is subject to us, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The Spirit are subject to the name of Jesus. In an hour of Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you hid these things for the wise and prudent, have revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Turn to Matthew 28 now. Matthew chapter 28. And this is what applies to you and me. It's Matthew, the 28th chapter. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He has all the power. They were told to go out and teach all nations. They were to teach them everything to observe what Jesus has said. And Jesus said, I will be with you until the end of the world. Now, this is where you're going to have to say, I am taking a step up now. I am not just going to be a bench warmer. I'm going to begin to actively have the Word of God in my life. You might be facing unemployment. Maybe you need to have a visa so you can stay in the United States. Maybe whatever it is. What you need to do is to take your mountain. Take your mountain. Lift it up. And put the Word of God on the mountain and let the Word of God destroy that mountain. If you do that, you will have victory. In Mark 16, we read this. We read it many times. Mark chapter 16 is what Jesus said. He that believes and is baptized, verse 16, shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I like the last verse. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Here again you have it, the word. He confirmed the word, not them. What is our responsibility? Turn to John 14:11. John 14:11. These are powerful verses. And I try to spend some time on them. John 14. You pick it up in verse 11. Jesus said, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me, for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, what's your goal in this life? Is your life wrapped around your house, your car, your jobs, cars, boats, whatever it is? Is your life wrapped around that, entertainment, having a good time? Or have you been simply saying this? Thank you, Lord, for my house. Nice. Thank you for my cars. Nice. Thank you for this. But Lord, I want to do the works that you did. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said, God, I want to do greater works than these? Have you ever told him that? Are you willing today to simply say, God, my priorities have been wrong. They've been on all these different things. But I want to prioritize now the right thing. I want to do the works of Jesus. I want to do greater works than Jesus. I want to begin to raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons. I want to do all kind of things. Can it be done? Of course it can. But it's up to you. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Most of the people in this church look to me as a pastor and to Charles to get the show on the road. Why don't we have any more people in here? Well, we've been trying hard. But you see, it is not my road show. It is our road show. When people see you during the week, are they stopping you and saying, where do you go to church? And you say, why do you ask? Well, you seem happy. You seem to have power. You always have a smile on your face. You're positive. Where do you go to church? Well, when people see you, do they stop and say, where do you go to church? Doesn't seem to do too good. It is up to us. If I can get each one of you today, to the here and those watching, to say this, my Heavenly Father, forgive me for having had my priorities in the wrong place. We sang today, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Like it, nice too. But what does it mean? It means that you need to sit down. You might be a woman, you might be a man, you might be old, you might be younger. But you need to sit down and say, Jesus, I want to do the works of God. Tell you what, if you're sincere, he's going to take you up on it. He's going to hit you with the power. He's going to begin to move in your life. And things are going to begin to happen. The question is, are you willing to be used by him? Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into dividing asunder of soul and spirit, out of joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me see if I can pull this together. If you, when you leave today, you can have lunch. And by the time you have finished your lunch, You have completely forgotten Sunday morning, and you're back into this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and this, and this, and that this week. I preached in vain. You sat there for nothing. But if you go home today, and you talk to your spouse, if you're alone, talk to somebody else, and you simply say this, honey, we want to do the works of God. We really want to do the works of God. We need to get healed. We need to get power in our lives. We need to change our priorities. When you walk into a store, you should have people turn around and look at you. When you go up to a cashier, you should have the cashier say, what do you have that I don't have? But you know, most of us look, including myself, from time to time, we look like death warmed over. You know? And people simply, they don't see the power. If we do the works of God, we have joy. We have peace. Something is happening. When you walk in through the pearly gates, would you like to have a committee meeting there? This is a song that was written sometime of faces. And some was written by one of the guys for the vision, greater vision. And the story goes like this. This man gets into heaven. He stands there. He looks at Jesus. And Jesus said, have you seen the faces? And he turns around and he sees all the people that he witnessed to and led to Christ. And he sees the faces of them. Tears are running down. And they are thanking God and thanking him because they gave them. He gave them the life, the word of God. When you walk into the pearly gates, how many faces are going to follow you? How many people are going to stand up there and say, praise God you made it. We got it before you did, but thank you for what you did. Are you willing today to simply say this? I want to do the works of God. God, I'm hungry. I want to do your works. I'm sick and tired of just living. I want to do the works of you. You begin to pray that. You get hungry. You thirst. You cry out. He's going to meet you. And this coming Friday night, that's one of the things we're going to pray for. We want to do the works of God. We want to really seek the Lord. Now, I joked before I started the service. Charles asked his son Andrew, are you going to read your palm today? And he said, no, next week. That's procrastination. And all of us are procrastinator. We all have this mañana. Mañana. Oh, yes, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I will never get it done. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day that you need to simply say this. I want the change in my life. Hebrews 11:6, you got down the outline, I read it from there. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, this I wrote to people outside this congregation. Don't expect a healing if you live a sinful life. Refuse to forgive people. Eat junk food and items that are not on God's menu. And don't abuse of drugs, including alcohol and nicotine. If you're overweight because of gluttony, not because of sickness, not because of diabetes, but because of gluttony, you're living in sin. Why should God heal you unless your ailments unless you repent and change your lifestyle. We're coming down to the end now. Remember, it is not so important how you begin your life at the salvation, but how you finish it. Every one of us here, the enemy is after us. Most of us have walked in victory. We have had victory in our lives. And Satan says, I don't want you to finish victorious. I want to take away your rewards. I want to destroy what you built for the last 30, 40 years. It's time to make a decision and say, I'm changing my priorities. I want to do the works of Jesus. I want to do the works of Jesus. I want that question to burn in you today. I want to do the works of Jesus. Let's stand for prayer. My only Father, oh God, I don't care if this is a pretty sermon or not. Made a lot of mistakes today, Father God. Could have pronounced words right. Read things wrong, Lord. But Father God, I pray one thing. Let your fire fall upon these people, Lord, that are here, those that are watching. Let your fire fall on us, Lord. Give us a hunger and a thirst. We are saying this. Oh God, I want to do the works of Jesus. Grant that today. To men and women, boys and girls. You know the watch. You might say, well, I'm not even saved. Just ask God to forgive your sins right now. Ask Jesus to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. And say, Jesus, come on in and save me. And you that are saved and be sitting on the sideline, just begin to say right now, I want to do the works of God. Jesus, I surrender today. He will touch you where you are. My wife and I surrendered in front of a television screen in 1965. No one there, but God heard us. And he changed us. And he moved on us. Call us, write us. But most of us call on God. The altars have opened here. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church people. The altars have opened. The elders are here. And today, if God is speaking to you, would you say, I want to do the works of Jesus. You come. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the third part in the series, Without Me You Can Do Nothing, and was entitled, Jesus and Your Health. When a believer in Christ reads the Word of God and sends it out to perform what God has spoken, it will not return void. We live in a sinful world full of sickness that plagues the human race. This is the work of the devil, and Jesus came to destroy this evil work. Among other things, Jesus commissioned his disciples to go out and heal the sick. The mandate is clear. We are to step out in faith and speak the scriptures against every disease we encounter, and leave the results up to God. Once the word of God has been spoken, it will begin to work, and if there is sin, God will expose it and bring conviction. The Word of God will do that even if it takes many years before a healing is manifested. It is impossible to please God without faith. So if you're going to come to Him, you must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1348. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.